Jesus. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's precious Word. Hebrews chapter 10, begin reading in verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time. And Lord, we do look forward to that last move. Lord, I'm glad that we can be satisfied now for what we have. And I pray that You'll help us, Lord, to realize that You're the fulfillment of everything as we trust Thee. Lord, now as it comes to the time of the preaching of Your Word, we need Thee. We need You to fulfill Your will during this time. And I pray that You'd empower me as I stand to preach. Give me words to say. And Lord, I pray that Your will would be accomplished in this time. Lord, that my desire would be simply to please Thee. Lord, if there be one here without Christ as Savior, I pray this would be the day they trust Thee. And for those of us that are saved, I pray that today we would understand to a greater degree what it means to live for Thee and to tell others of Thee. Lord, may Thy will be done. Please hide me behind the cross. And Lord, when we're all done, I pray that You'd be well pleased with what's taken place. And we'll give You the glory for what's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I want to preach this morning on living for Jesus. Living for Jesus. The writer of Hebrews is declaring some great things to these believers. Of course, you know, the belief in Judaism was that only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies. And he can only do that once a year. If you study the Old Testament and you understand certain things about the priesthood. But now Christ, the Bible says, through the veil of His flesh, has made a way for every believer to enter into the Holy of Holies. Isn't that great to think about? A wonderful thought when we think about that. The Old Testament tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, was where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat were at. And also, if you'll remember, the Shekinah glory, the Shekinah cloud, glory cloud, representing the presence of God, would be above the mercy seat. And only the high priest could enter through the veil and into the presence of God and into the place where the mercy seat was and the Ark of the Covenant. But now, all that are in the Lord Jesus Christ, all that have been saved by His marvelous grace, can enter into the presence of the Holy of Holies. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I have access to the Holy of Holies, into the very throne room of God, because of that. Because of what the Lord Jesus has done. Because of His flesh being broken, the veil being rent in twain. We can now go into the Holy of Holies and talk to Almighty God. Because of all that the Lord's done, He's made it possible. And He's expecting us to be living for Jesus. And the Bible teaches us some things here to help us to understand that not only has He made a way, but He's showing us some ways that we can live for Him. He made a way for us to be saved, and now He's showing us the way that we can live for Him. And the first thing we see is we have to have faith in Christ. That's where it all starts, isn't it? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 22 as we see the first, let us. It says, let us draw near with the true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The Bible is teaching us here that the very first step in living for Jesus is we have to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people out there that are very religious, but they have no relationship. And I want you to know that in order for you to live for Jesus, you have to have a personal relationship with Him. And it begins when you, by faith, trust Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross of Calvary, the blood that He shed there. When you put your faith in what Jesus Christ did, then heaven can be your home and you can live for the Lord. Notice what the Bible says here in this verse. It says, let us, first of all, draw near. We come to Christ by faith. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ believing that He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. There are many multitudes of people that will hear the gospel and will turn away the truth that's been revealed to them. And they even believe that Jesus died. For I've talked to people, they believe Jesus died on the cross. They believe that He rose again, and they think that they cannot give up. They cannot turn over a new leaf in their life. They can't accomplish what needs to be accomplished, and so they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you can't do it on your own. You're not good enough to get to heaven. It's not about turning over a new leaf. It's about, by grace, through faith, trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Drawing near to God is what this is talking about. And Christ made a way so that we could have faith in God, so that we could be brought near to God. Before Christ died on the cross, the high priest could enter once a year into the Holy of Holies. Think about that. But now we have access day after day after day to go into the very presence of Almighty God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If people would just come to Him just as they are, they'd realize that nobody ever cared for them like Jesus cares for them. You know, the Bible says if you'll draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. If you desire to have a relationship with the Lord, you can have a relationship with the Lord. If you desire to come to God, I promise you, He'll meet you there. He's already came to us, died for us. Now, He desires for us to come to Him. So many people think they have to get everything straightened out. They have to get all the problems answered in their life. Reminds me, and I know I told you this story just a few weeks ago about the lady, Charlotte, wrote Just As I Am. Charlotte Ray, and remembering how that she was an invalid and she felt like nobody would even care for her and her condition. But there was a man came to her, Dr. Caesar Malin, and came to her and spoke to her about her need for Christ, and she was so very rude to him at the beginning of the conversation. And then she later said, I want to apologize. She said, I'd like to accept Christ. I'd like to trust Him, but I can't trust Him. I've just done too many things, and you know, there's no way that I can do it. How could I come to Christ with me in the condition I'm in, in the life that I've lived? And Dr. Malin said, you've got to come just as you are. Just as you are. That's how you come to Christ. It's not about all these other things. You come just as you are. If you try to do it on your own, it'll never work. 12 years later, I believe it was her brother-in-law that was having some kind of a fundraiser, trying to raise money for a certain thing, and she couldn't help with anything because of her condition. And she began to think about how useless she felt like her life was. And then she remembered the night that she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And she remembered what Dr. Malin said when he said, come just as you are. And she sat down and she began to pen the words, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. And that's how you come to Christ. You don't turn over a new leaf and come to Christ. You don't get all the things out of your... You come just as you are, and He'll take you just as you are, and He'll wash you and cleanse you and make you a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, let us draw near. Then the Bible says, with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. When we come to Him, we have to come to Him with this true heart, truly believing what He did, without guile, without hypocrisy. It's believing, that's what it's talking about, having full assurance that He is who He says He is and that He'll do what He says He'll do. You know what the Bible says? That if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins. You know what the Bible says? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. How are you going to live for Jesus? Well, it begins by having faith in Christ. It begins by drawing near and with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And then the Bible goes on and says in verse number 22, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And this is talking about coming to Christ by faith, believing that we've been forgiven and that we've been cleansed by His blood. We've been washed. We've been made clean. We were dirty. We were filthy. Our hearts, our souls were blackened with sin. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can cleanse all your sin and all your guilt and wash you and make you clean and present you white as snow. Amen. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There's so many today that believe in God. You ever notice athletes when they talk to them after a ball game? I want to thank God. I want to thank God in their life. Does not line up with anybody that would thank God for anything. Of course, in today's world, you don't know which God they're talking about. We know there's only one true and living God. But there's a lot of people that believe in God or believe in Jesus, but they've never come to Him to trust Him as their Savior. A lot of churches promote that. A lot of churches make it okay to do that because they don't tell the truth about sin and about salvation. We're all sinners. Everybody's come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. I want everybody to understand that our sin separates us from God. But Jesus Christ came. And He redeemed us back to God. If we'll, by faith, trust what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Not what we can do, not turning over a new leaf, not our good works, not our good deeds, not being baptized, not giving money to the church, not taking to the Lord's Supper. But by grace through faith, trusting Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary. Living for Jesus begins by having faith in Christ. I talk to so many people that say they want to live for Jesus, but they've never come to that place of faith. They've never come to the place where they trusted Christ. Well, you know, I talk to people about their salvation. Oh, yeah, I was saved. I've been saved ever since I was born. I've been a Christian. You can't be a Christian ever since you were born. There has to come a day in your life where you, by faith, trust Christ. Well, I go to church all the time. Well, good, but you heard what Vance Havner said. Going into a church don't make you a Christian any more than going into a garage makes you an automobile. You understand? It's a new life in Christ. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. It's not a routine. It's not a ritual. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus paid it all so that you could have this relationship with Him. He paved the way and He made the way that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How are you going to be living for Jesus? Well, you have to have faith in Christ. The second thing we see in this passage of Scripture is you're to hold fast our confession. We are to hold fast our confession. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. So, once we come to have faith in Christ, we have a solid foundation. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The song says, all other ground is sinking sand. But once you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to hold fast our profession of faith. We are to hold fast our confession, if you will. Why is it that so many waver when the wind blows? Why is it that so many people... They put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but then they don't build upon that faith. We're to be determined to hold fast the profession of our faith, the Bible says. I want you to understand the enemy will do all that he can to make us doubt our faith, to make us dispute our faith, and even make us deny our faith. Look, if somebody as strong and bold as Peter would deny the Lord Jesus Christ, don't think you're above it. We are to hold fast the profession of our faith, the Bible says. There's no doubt that there are many false professions. The Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, little children, It is the last time. I believe we're living in the last time. It is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they may be made manifest that they were not all of us. There are going to be people who make false professions. God is the judge, not me. But the Bible teaches us that we prove our faith by holding fast our profession of faith. The Bible teaches us that we're to do this. If we're going to be living for Jesus, we prove that we belong to Him. We prove by the life that we live that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And while there may be many professions of faith that are false professions of faith, for those that have come to Christ truly by faith, we're not to waver if we're going to live for Him. We're to hold fast. We're to live our life for the Lord. Now, somebody asked the question, can somebody be saved and not live for the Lord? Well, of course they can. Of course, but they're wasting their lives and they're losing their rewards. Their life is a useless life if they're not doing with their life what God wants them to do with it. The exhortation is given to us here in the Scriptures to stand firm and to not waver. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. You remember what James said in his book, "He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed." In other words, when you waver in your faith, you know what happens? Every time some new doctrine comes along, you begin to wave. And every time the wind blows, you begin to say, well, maybe I believe this and maybe I believe that. But you know what you need to do? You need to get anchored in the Rock of Ages and know what it is you believe in and know who it is that you believe in. And you need to be firm in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, the Bible says, without wavering. As a believer, we're to stand firm and this truth that God has given to us. But how can we do it? If we're living in the last time, how can we live for Jesus? How can we hold fast our profession of faith without wavering? Well, notice what the Bible says right there in that verse. Right there in the parentheses. You see it? This is how. The Bible says, "For He is faithful that promised." That's how we're going to hold fast the profession of our faith. Because Christ is faithful that He'll never leave us or never forsake us. Because Christ is true to His Word. And He teaches us that when we put our faith in Him, at that very moment we receive everlasting life. It's instantaneous. I will not get eternal life when I die. I already have eternal life. The moment I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I entered that day into everlasting life. He that hath the Son hath life. That's a present possession, isn't it? The Bible says that we shall not come into condemnation. So what do we do? Our Lord is going to be faithful. That's how we are to be faithful. That's how we can hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, because He is faithful that promised. So when the wind blows, hold fast your profession. When the thunder sounds, hold fast our profession. When the lightning strikes, hold fast the profession. When the rain falls, hold fast our profession. When the temptations arise, when the accusations come, when the doubts cloud the way, hold fast the profession of our faith. When the world is mocking us, when the economy is failing us, and when life it seems to be on the line, hold fast the profession of our faith. How can we do it? Because He is faithful that promised us. My life is in Him. I have been hidden in Christ. All is well, regardless of what goes on around, regardless of how hard the rain falls or how loud the wind howls. I'm anchored safe and secure in the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to be living for Jesus, we must have faith in Christ. We must hold fast our confession. And then thirdly, we're to help fellow believers on their course. Living for Jesus will always put our minds on others. When we're living for Jesus, we'll be Christian, Christ one, Christ like. And you know what Christ was all about? He wasn't about himself, was he? It's always about others. His life was about you and me. His life was about the world needing a Savior. And when we think about this, we realize that living for Jesus will help us to think of others. And when we consider one another, it'll provoke one another. The Bible says here in verse number 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love. People that are loved can better love others. You know that? You realize that? When somebody shows you love, it's easier for you to show somebody else love. And if we're going to be living for Jesus, we're to help fellow believers on their course. And when we consider others, we'll begin to pray for them and encourage them. And that'll provoke them to love others. That's what this is all about. Living for Jesus is so much more than just being saved. So many people think, well, I'm saved now. Heaven's going to be my home. You know, it's all settled. My life is over. The very moment you trust Jesus is just the beginning of what living for Jesus is all about. It's just the start. And I want you to know it's the greatest life you'll ever live when you live for Jesus. You know the difference between people that are saved that are living for Jesus and people that are saved that are not living for Jesus? People that are saved that are not living for Jesus endure life. People that say that are saved that are living for Jesus enjoy life. There's a big difference there, isn't there? We endure our days or we enjoy our days. I want to enjoy life, don't you? By the way, I'm having a great time. I enjoy my life. I'm not perfect, but I sure have a perfect Savior. And the Bible teaches us that if we're going to live for Jesus and we're going to help others, other believers on their course, then we're to consider one another, to provoke unto love. And then the Bible goes on and says, also to provoke unto good works. When we do what we do for the Lord and for one another, not self-promotion, then it'll encourage others to good works, is what the Bible is saying. So much of what people do is about themselves and about getting noticed. You ever around people like that? I found people that like to talk all the time or people that like to be heard all the time. You say, well, that don't make sense. Well, it does if you think about it. Some people want to be heard all the time because they think they have so much more to say, you know? And they think people that talk all the time is going to be talking about self. Sometimes we need to realize that so much of our life, it shouldn't be about promoting ourselves. It should be about promoting the Savior. If we do what we do for Christ, then your feelings won't get hurt so easy. If somebody doesn't recognize you, somebody doesn't pat you on the back, you won't be so quick to get upset about it because you'll say, I'm doing it for the Lord anyway. That's helping fellow believers on their course. So how is that? Because when they begin to see that what you're doing, you're doing for Christ, that you're trying to help others, then they'll begin, it says, to provoke others to love and to good works. Your good works help others to do good works, right? It catches on. That's where it is. And then another way we consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works is found in verse number 25. And I think this is so important. And you hear preachers preach on this all the time. I preach on it all the time, so I figure, why pass up a good opportunity to preach on it again? The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So many people I talk to, they just don't see the importance of being faithful to the local church. You know, some people are Sunday morning only Christians by choice because they choose not to come back on a Sunday evening or Wednesday evening. Sometimes people come just when it's convenient. You know, 19 drops of rain do keep 20 Baptists away sometimes. I think you understand that. But I want to ask you a question. If you have the health and the ability, is God ever pleased when we stay home from His house? He's not, is He? And if you're not here, then somebody may miss a blessing. And by the way, when you are here, don't you think that it helps others? Don't you think that it encourages others when, you know, you have a bigger crowd? Sure it does. It's a blessing when you look out and you see that there's 30 more people than normally here. And to be honest with you, if we just get our folks to be faithful, just think how many people would be here Sunday after Sunday that you know, not working, their health's not keeping them from being here, they just are here. Think about what a difference it would make. Think about, our choir is pretty faithful, but if every member of the choir was here for every service, what a difference. There's not many churches in town that even have a Wednesday night choir. But we have Wednesday night choir. We treat it just like we treat a Sunday. It's just as important. Wednesday's not a less time. As a matter of fact, I think it's not a less time. I believe it may be the best time. We come together Sunday nights. We're trying to add more music on Sunday nights. I believe you'd enjoy it if you'd come back. We're having more singing on Sunday nights than what we have been having. You're missing out, you know, if you don't come back on Sunday nights. But this is what we're talking about here. We live for Jesus by having faith in Christ. We live for Jesus by holding fast our confession. And we live for Jesus by helping other believers on their course. And this is one of the ways that we can do it. Just being faithful. Notice what the Bible says. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But look here. Exhorting one another. See, God wants you to be a part of a local assembly. He wants you to be faithful to that church, to that local assembly. And He wants you to encourage one another and to exhort one another. But then it says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Think about that. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord Jesus, the more we need encouragement from one another. The more exhortation we need. The more help we need. We need to help and to be helped. And it takes all of us to do this. What a sad thought if Jesus would return and he wouldn't find us living for Him. Living for Him and doing for Him His will with our lives. So let me ask you this morning. Are you living for Jesus? Do you have faith in Christ? That's where it all begins. It begins by knowing that Christ is your Savior, that heaven's going to be your home. Are you holding fast your confession? Are you wavering? Does every wind that blows seem to blow you off course? And then are you helping fellow believers on their course? See, God has made a way for us to be living for Jesus. The flesh of Christ was rent for us, and His blood was shed for us. Now we're able to enter into the Holy of Holies, that place of God's presence. What more needs to be done? May we find ourselves living for Jesus, doing His blessed will with our lives. What are you doing? Where is your life? Let's ask yourself this question. Do I have faith in Christ? Have you trusted Him by faith? Are you firm in your faith, holding fast your confession? Are you helping others in their faith? Every one of us, if we want to be living for Jesus, need these things to be a part of our lives. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Living for Jesus. 2009, difficult? Probably. But it's not impossible. As a matter of fact, the Lord's done everything that needs to be done in order for us to be able to live for Jesus. So may I ask you this question? Are you living for Jesus? Have you began this life of faith? Have you by faith trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you were to die today, God forbid, but if you were to die today, or if Jesus were to return like the Bible says He's going to today, is your faith in Christ? Is heaven going to be your home? If you're here today and say, preacher, that's me. I am saved. I'm not perfect, but I have trusted Jesus Christ by faith. And I know that I'm on my way to heaven. Would you lift your hand? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. There's no one looking around. Would you lift your hand? I'm saved. Not perfect, but I'm saved. God bless you. I want to thank you for that. If your hand did not go up this morning that you're saved, right now you're sitting there thinking either you just don't care about it, you're not convinced that you need to be, or you're thinking, I know this is something that needs to be a part of my life. I've just never taken that step. Jesus is standing. I can't make you believe all these things. I can't make you believe that you need Him. But the Holy Spirit is working in your life and He's helping you to understand your need of Christ. We've lifted up Jesus today, and the Lord Jesus said if we'd lift Him up, that He'd draw all men to Him. If you're here today and you can lift your hand right then, that heaven's going to be your home. Right now, you say, preacher, I didn't lift my hand that I know I'm on my way to heaven, that I know I'm saved. Right now, I want to lift my hand and tell you that maybe I don't understand all there is to understand about it, but I know that I don't want to die and go to a place called hell. I know when I do leave this world, I want to go and be with the Lord, but I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I don't have the peace about going to heaven. Would you lift your hand? That's me, preacher. I'm not saved. I'm not sure. I did lift my hand just a moment ago, but right now I'm going to admit I need your prayers about this matter. I want to get some things settled in my heart. Pray for me, preacher. We won't make you come forward. We don't do that. You do what God wants you to do. How many say, preacher, that's me. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? God bless you. Would there be another one today? Pray for me, preacher. I need this. I need God to work in my life. If you're here today and say, preacher, I lifted my hand. I know I'm saved. But God's dealing with me about these other areas. About holding fast my confession. About helping other believers in Christ. And just helping them on their course. God's dealing with me about some things. It's not that you're doing something bad or doing something wrong. It's just God is showing you some areas right now where you know that you can do something to help somebody else out. Or you can get firm, more firm in your faith and take a stronger stand for Christ. God's dealing with you. Look, let's be honest about this. We all can do better. No doubt. But if God is specifically dealing with you right now, say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But God's showing me some things right now. And I need to just take another step in my life. I need to take the next step. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Preacher, that's me. God bless you. Thank you for that. God bless you. And God bless you. Thank you for that. God bless you. Several hands are going up. Thank you for that this morning. Living for Jesus. That's what this is all about. Living for Jesus. That's why this message was given today. Was so that we would take that step forward and say, I'm going to live for Jesus. And as God has dealt with you, why don't you come today and commit to Him what you need to do as He has beckoned you to come. We don't drag people down the aisle. We don't beg you to come, but we do beg you to obey God. And as God has dealt with you, if you need to come, would you come? As the instrument begins to play this morning, Brother Paul's going to be singing a song that says, Living for Jesus, a life that is true.